My name is Colleen Carberry, and I'm one of the founders of Advanced Medical Integration.
And my name is Mike Carberry, and I'm also a founder of Advanced Medical Integration, and together we are the founders.
Yeah.
Our business, we have a medical integration company. We're consultants that teach different disciplines in healthcare, medical, nurse practitioner, chiropractic, physical therapy, how to work together with a common goal of getting the patient well by avoiding the use of drugs and surgery.
Well, somewhat with my background, I'm a physical therapist by trade, and I've always worked on a team, inpatient rehab on a team. And so what we did was we took this inpatient rehab model and took it to the outpatient setting. So as Mike said, we put together a group of disciplines with medical staff, chiropractic staff, physical therapy staff together, and we actually treat patients from a team point of view so we can handle all of their physical medicine problems.
And we've been doing this for 30 years. It's evolved over the years. A lot of people think we're just stem cell people or regenerative medicine people. That is a part of what we do, but that's more recent. We've been having success with this model for 30 years.
Yeah.
Number one complaint that human beings suffer with is chronic degenerative arthritis. Chronic disease is 80% of healthcare treatment. Chronic degenerative arthritis is the number one chronic disease that human beings have. Mm-hmm. And the number one treatment for that right now is opioids. I just read a study yesterday that said they're realizing they underestimated the number of deaths per year from opioid use by half, which is ridiculous.
Let me start the journey?
Sure.
Okay, good. I'm a physical therapist by trade. He was actually a salesman, and he sold janitorial supplies when we met. And he had got hurt, and chiropractic really changed his life, and that really put you on the journey to become a chiropractor. So what happened was we got engaged, we got married, quit our jobs, moved to Atlanta, and he went to chiropractic school. And so for 4 years, I worked as a physical therapist, and he was a chiropractor. At that point, you got out of school. We moved back to Pennsylvania, and you opened your own practice.
Yeah.
And I stayed continuing to be a physical therapist. And what happened over time was that you realized you need help in the practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, 3 months. I'm only doing it for 3 months, right? And here I am today. I never left. And what we did was we built a practice. We saw 700 visits a week, but a huge chiropractic practice is what we built. And what we discovered was our patients wanted more.
Yeah.
So we were treating patients with chiropractic care, and they actually wanted more.
So you got to realize I had an injury when I was 25 years old. It was temporary paralysis. It was called a stinger, and it scared the crap out of me because I was a business guy. I graduated school. I was selling advertising, and then I went to janitorial supply sales. And I had no idea about biology or neurology or any of that. All I knew was when I jumped off this platform onto the beach, my neck snapped, and I went paralyzed from the neck down for a full minute, which was the longest minute of my life. That's what led me to search out a remedy. And I went the medical route first, and they were just throwing drugs at me, and I got tired of it, so I sought out a chiropractor. Everybody in my life tried to talk me out of doing that, including Colleen, until she saw what chiropractic was, and then she became a big advocate. Mm-hmm. When I decided to quit my job to go into this healthcare field, everybody except for Colleen tried to talk me out of it. She encouraged me, which we've been a great team ever since we've been together. So I went into healthcare, and I had this drive and passion to try to stop other people from going down the same path of drugs and no purpose of getting the person fixed. And that's why I think my practice grew so fast. I mean, I had probably the second largest chiropractic practice in the state of Pennsylvania in about the first 4 years of my practice. But I recognized the patients needed more than just an adjustment. And we started doing research, and we started realizing rehab was a very big key part of that. And we're going to work together, but the problem was in the state of Pennsylvania, a physical therapist could not work off the referral of a chiropractor. So we decided to bring medical people into the fold with the caveat that they had to agree with our philosophy and purpose in healthcare. And that means less drugs, less surgery, more functional treatment. And I was amazed at how many medical people, how many nurse practitioners, how many medical doctors were looking for a less drug-oriented avenue. Well, most of our clients are chiropractors, but we do have clients that are nurse practitioners and clients that are medical doctors. And what it is we help them create, if they don't already have it, a medical clinic. And the medical clinic doesn't do family practice. What it does do is it addresses chronic degenerative arthritis. And the aspects of our treatment, all treatments that we do have to follow three rules. It's got to be good for the outcome of the patient. It's got to be compliant. And then thirdly, it's got to be profitable. And we keep it in that order so we don't chase the money. We're trying to get a good product, and the good product is a healthy patient. So the way we do that is through physical rehab, through chiropractic, through medical injections with very benign substances, following the tenets of Janet Travell, a medical doctor who treated John F. Kennedy, or Vladimir Yanda, a medical doctor who came up with a rehab for people who had spinal injuries. And it works extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, when people have physical problems, whether it's arthritis, right, whether it's joint pain, muscle pain, and that's what we treat is you know, neurological problems, you know, joint pain, muscle pain, the physical body. And there's actually no solution out there. It's a fractured solution. You know, you go to your medical doctor, and most medical doctors want to help. So they want to send you to physical therapy or something like that. And the disciplines are so fractured that nobody's really talking to anybody else. So who really suffers is the patient, because they just continue to get worse. And I think the philosophy in the medical field is you just kind of wait for it to get bad. And when it gets bad enough, we'll do surgery. Yeah. And on the way, we'll give you some pills to mask the pain until we have to do surgery. That's essentially the solution to it.
Yeah, and it's not that they're bad people. It's just that the way they're taught is your job is to keep people out of pain.
Yeah.
And we think that idea should shift to your job is to get the body working again and healing itself.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest difference between what we do. It's interesting, in that realm, nobody can cure everything or treat everything, and neither can we. But we do get most of our patients are failed back surgery or failed knee surgery, or they don't want to get a knee replacement at 45 years old. And, you know, this is the type of people we're working with. Not easy cases, tough cases.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of to roll back to how did we get to AMI today? Like AMI is advanced medical integration. How did we get to it today? We had this massive practice. We were seeing 700 visits a week. It was a massive practice when we offered all these services. And we thought we were pretty good. We were, you know, we were living well.
The cat's meow.
The cat's meow. And then it occurred to us, because our dream was to change healthcare. It always was in the beginning, mm-hmm. was to actually help everybody across the United States. And we realized we're doing well, but we can't help people across the United States in our little town. We were big in our little town. And that's when we said, okay, we need to do something else. And there was an opportunity for us to consult. And in our world, consulting meant, wow, we can teach other doctors what we do. It sounded perfect. So we literally sold everything we had, our house, took our four children and moved to Atlanta and left everything behind to open up a consulting company. We had big hopes for that consulting company.
Yeah, this was in 2004.
Yeah, 2004. And a year later, the consulting company was out of business. We could not get it off the ground. We had our four kids sitting in Atlanta. We had a practice in Pennsylvania that should have sold, that never sold, that was faltering. And we looked at each other and we're like, what do we do? Do we uproot everything and go back? We don't even have a house.
Yeah.
And instead what we said was, no, we're going to hunker down and we're going to fix that practice in Pennsylvania. We spent 2 years flying back and forth to Pennsylvania. Okay, I had a baby at the time, mm-hmm. that Lindsay was less than one. So I took her back, I'd get off that plane, hand her back to the nanny, and he and I would work in Pennsylvania, and we just traveled. For 2 years, we put that practice back together in such a way that it would run without us. And I remember the day us going like, oh my God, we did it. We can live in Atlanta and run this practice from far away. We did it. And within a week, the medical doctor who worked for us called up and said, hey, the SBA, the Small Business Association, has just told me for over seven figures.
We can't disclose it.
But we're going to pen you a check, but you're out in 30 days. And we looked at each other, we're like, we're out in 30 days, okay? So we literally went up there. I said, get the pictures off the wall, like of our kids, get everything out of there, right? And pick up that check and go. So that's what we did. And all of a sudden, we're back in Georgia with our kids, with no practice and nothing. And we said, well, we're not going to consult again because that's not going to work.
Well, I would just want to add with that consulting, you know, you learn what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest outpoints is we connected ourselves to somebody that we thought was strong, and I'm not blaming everything on him. We were the ones that decided to connect with him, but he didn't share the same value. So the three rules, good for the patient, compliant, and then profits third. He only had profits third. And, you know, who you put in your world really has a big effect on how well you do. So mm-hmm. we remedied that as well.
It was a constant. This was a constant year-long battle of just philosophically butting heads until finally we said, and we never got the business off the ground. We had a handful of clients. We just realized we're never going to make it. We're going to lose on this one.
Yeah.
So we backed out. So.
But after we wrote all those systems, running that practice in Pennsylvania from Georgia, we thought, well, you know, we can run a business on the other side of the country. So we opened up three practices in 1 year in a state to this day we've never lived in, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And they all took off. We did very well with all three practices.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what we did, that's what we decided. We're not going to consult. We will open up practices and actually put chiropractors in the practices and teach them. That was what our model was going to be. We were going to open up across states. Again, our dream, it was the same dream. which was to actually change healthcare, to take this model to the masses. And so that then we were approached by new partners. And of course, the first thing we said was, nope. Absolutely not, no way. We tried that, we're not doing it. So they did court us for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And then we did form Advanced Medical Integration. And that's where then we, 6 years ago, we took our systems, which we had perfected, because he's right, we lived in Atlanta and had three practices in Tennessee. The closest one was 2 hours away. The farthest one was 4 hours in Nashville somewhere. I don't know, we barely went to the practices, right? We ran them. So we were able to take that model. We knew how to write the systems up, and that's what we brought to AMI.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
And it really satisfied our goal, because we really want to change healthcare, and having more people empowered with these same systems and the same learning that we've developed for ourselves over the years empowers more people to open these practices and help more patients.
Yeah. So now we've been at it for 6 years.
Seven.
We have about... Seven?
7 years.
We don't count that first year. That was a lot of writing. A lot of writing and materials. 7 years. We have over 600 clients in how many states?
47.
Okay, so we are on our way to our dream, basically.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's funny. A lot of times people say, well, you guys, you know, I can't do what you do. You guys are naturals at it. Well, there's been bumps along the road, lots of bumps. And I heard a quote the other day listening to Napoleon Hill. A rose bush is not judged on the absence of thorns, it's judged on the beauty of its flowers. There's been plenty of thorns along this path. We do have beautiful flowers, but you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And there's bumps along the way, and our job is to help people along those bumps or through those bumps. But you gotta realize, when you want something bigger, you have to go into territory you haven't been before, and you're gonna run into obstacles. And if you look at those obstacles as barriers, you're not gonna get far. But if you look at them as stepping stones or rungs on the ladder, that's how you go.
Yeah, and I will say that when we told you about we were in Atlanta and that consulting company, I know we don't use the word failed. It failed, okay? It absolutely failed, okay? And we looked at each other and said, we either move back or we try and do this from Atlanta. There were many, those 2 years of doing it from Atlanta, okay? And we did it for our family. We did not want to uproot those kids again and pull them away. There were times that we thought we were going to have to sell our house. There were times we thought we were going to lose it all.
Yeah.
We had to fly on those terrible, terrible flights for $79 because we could not afford decent flights. What he used to do was he would leave a truck at the airport in Philadelphia because
at any given time
we couldn't afford to rent a car. We had to leave a car at the airport.
I had a car parked at the Atlanta airport or the Philadelphia airport at any given time.
And there were so many times that we were like, "Do we just throw the bag in and go get a job?" Like, this is. I know. We looked at each other and we're like, okay, pull up the bootstraps. We can do this. Our kids were in, they weren't in secondhand clothes, but I had to go to shops that had like the reject clothes where they cut the tags because to show them their reject clothes. And my oldest daughter, Amanda, goes, Mom, I remember those years because I look back at some of those clothes because we'd save them. I have four girls, right? We have four girls. And she goes, when I saw those tags cut, I knew there must have been hardship on money what you brought home. But we spent 2 years and literally when that thing finally turned around, we were like, I can't believe made it. We got out of that other end and survived. But I think that hunkering down was, for us, huge on our relationship,
yeah.
Our growth on our relationship, but huge in our confidence that if we could overcome that, there's not much we can't overcome.
Yeah.
So once I think AMI was going maybe for three years, I'd say. It was up for 3 years. And honestly, when Mike and I have always worked together, he's always done the sales, right? So he's done the sales, the public speaking, right? And then I would do everything else. We'd kind of share treatment just in the sense it was chiropractic rehab kind of thing. And probably about 3 years ago, I said to not only Mike, but my other partners, I think I need to learn to sell. Like, I feel like it's the only skill I don't know. And so you guys who are all a bunch of salesmen, because my partners are all males and they're salesmen, I go, give me something to read. And they talked and they mulled around and they're like, you know, I think Grant Cardone's books would be good. And I think Sell or Be Sold would be good. And I'm writing it down, Sell or Be Sold. And then they said, no, Closer Survival Guide. That's the one. And I'm like writing it down. And finally, I think Austin said, I think she needs to start on the 10X rule. You can't understand Grant without listening to the 10X rule. And I go, okay. So I write the 10X rule down. And then somebody says, well, be obsessed or be average. They kind of go together. You really need both of them. So I wrote them down and
so
I said.
She did them all.
So I did them all. But so I downloaded the 10X rule, and on my way home from that trip, I started listening. And flip the switch?
Yep.
Somewhere in the 10X rule, when Grant gives permission, right, to unleash your power, which is, he actually said, I give you permission, it was like switch flipped in me, and I was like, what am I doing? Like, what? Our mission is so huge. Why am I holding myself back? And I even got home to my girls, right? I would drive them to school and I'd say, here's the deal. The ride is 20 minutes. You get 10 minutes of Grant and you get 10 minutes talking or whatever music you want to play. And they were like, oh, Mom. And I'd play, I said, and I get my 10 minutes first, okay, in case we got there a little too soon. So I would play the 10X rule, okay, on the car, right? And I said, guys, we are going to change healthcare. And by the way, I am going to meet Grant Cardone someday, and I'm going to do something with Grant Cardone.
Yep.
And that was 3 years ago. And they're like, okay, Mom. As I stuck the no negativity on the fridge and right everywhere. And so between the 10X rule and be obsessed or be average, I've never stopped since.
Right. No, it was like a flip switched in her, and mm-hmm. she used to say, oh, I don't really know much about business. I'm not a business person. I'm a physical therapist. Well, she's a business person now. One of the best business people I've ever met, and she's like a machine, and Grant turned that switch on in her.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I remember when she said, we're going to go to GrowthCon. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be cool. And she said, I'm going to get really good tickets so we can get up close. Her goal was, I want to meet Grant Cardone.
Let me tell my story.
Let
me tell my point of view first.
I bought the tickets.
No, let me say my point of view.
How much were they?
No.
$20,000.
What it was, I said, we were going to GrowthCon, right? And in my head, and this is, I'm really big on this. It's like, I was going to meet Grant. I had no idea how I was going to meet Grant, right? But this guy changed my life, literally changed my life and my viewpoint and my, like, just literally gave me permission to be who I was, okay? So I said, we're going to go to GrowthCon. He's like, great, that's wonderful. And I said, well, I don't want to sit up in the rafters, so I'm going to get good seats. But he always has these sales and these deals going on. So every day, you know, he would pop up on my computer, because Grant does that really well, right? It would pop up on the computer, deals. And all of a sudden, this deal popped up. Buy a ticket and get an hour with Grant. And I'm like, oh, there's my Grant. I can meet him, right? So I get in there, and the tickets were $10,000 a piece, but you got an hour with Grant. So what I did was, I actually thought, I want 2 hours with Grant. So I bought a ticket for me for $10,000, got my hour with Grant, and I bought one for him for $10,000 to get my second hour with Grant, in case I didn't make my impression the first time. So I bought the tickets, and that's when I went to him. I'm like, oh my God, this is so fabulous. I got it so that we can meet Grant for an hour. And he's like, great. I said, it came along with the tickets. And he's like, well, how much were the tickets? I'm like, that's beside the point. We get to meet Grant.
When she told me the price, I was like, oh, there goes my boat.
I know. Exactly. That's exactly
but
what he
it
said.
It was the best money we ever spent.
Oh,
and
my God.
In fact, my viewpoint on this is, the more we started putting Grant in our world, the more our world got better.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing I've noticed, like with our staff, we put the staff on Cardone U, mm-hmm. and we started seeing changes in them. Like people that we didn't expect to be killers were popping out, and I don't want to say killers, but people who were machines and really good at their job started popping out all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so last year we decided to bring our whole staff from our clinic in Chattanooga to GrowthCon. Mm-hmm. And that 1 year we went from a $3 million clinic to a $5 million clinic. And that culture was cemented in after GrowthCon.
Yeah.
Like if you were a person who didn't want to work and you got a job in our office, you would quit within a week. Because they love their job. They're all totally motivated. We love them. They're great people.
Yep.
And Grant brought out the best in them. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah. And we've only, like, those numbers you're talking about, we've only been in the practice 6 times last year. And that practice jumped that much. But I think, too, you know, here that group has, they're on Grant Cardone University. They went to GrowthCon. They were on this massive group chat while they were all, like, totally on fire. What happened was, they flew back. They were supposed to get on a flight that got canceled. They ended up on a red eye, okay? They landed in Atlanta at 5 a.m. Now, they had to be at the office at 10, okay? They rented 2 cars. They went home, they showered, they were at work at 10, on fire with no sleep. And I said, GrowthCon just solidified that powerhouse group is what it did. And for us, it was our business that we stepped back from that the executives in there were on fire at that point.
Yeah.
So and I have to say this, they have a Grant meeting every week, okay, which is where they meet every week. Everybody studies on Grant Cardone University, okay, so university. And they have to meet every week and they explain their win that they got of what they learned from the university and then how it has affected their job or their life. And we sat in one last week. We visited the clinic last week with Cardone Ventures and we watched the meeting and we just sat there. We were like, oh, even I know we own the place, but as an outsider, I'm telling you, this is gold.
Everybody participated and everybody had wins, and it was just, you could feel the culture, and it was it's just, that's what I really want to thank Grant for, yeah, putting that culture in our business,
yeah,
which allows us to be able to do the consulting company and not have to be there and babysit that clinic because, yep, everybody there is awesome.
It gives that culture. In fact, I had to even pull up on the screen. Grant does one of his things on Grant Cardone University where he raps. I know.
Don't give up your, yeah, day job, Grant.
I know.
Okay, so Brandon Dawson comes into our world. When Grant came to speak at our convention in April of last year, he brought Brandon Dawson with him. And I remember looking at the guy going, who is that guy that's with Grant? He must be his head of security. And I don't think I said that to Brandon, and I'm glad I didn't, because Brandon knocked our socks off. We got talking to him. He was just very casual, very, you know, very affable. We both immediately liked the guy. Like, he's just a likable guy. And he says, I'm in Portland, so if you're ever out in Portland, you should stop by. And we're like, well, we have a home just west of Portland, and we're going there tomorrow. And he's like, well, here's my card. So we came out and met Brandon, and Brandon was exactly what I was looking for. Exactly what I was looking for. Somebody who could help me, because the dilemma that we had was, okay, we have this great product. You can't just change healthcare by saying, get rid of the old guys. You gotta have something to replace it with. And we have something to replace it with, but how do you get it accepted? My background in marketing, I understand, if you ever heard of the diffusion of innovation, I understand that concept. And we have to get over 15-18% of the public getting this product. And when I met Brandon and he started telling us what he did with hearing aids and with the hearing space in his company, Audigy, and how he raised the bar for the whole industry, I thought, this guy could help us. He could do it in our space. And he was thinking the same thing, evidently, at the same time. So it was perfect.
Yeah.
So immediately, we liked Brandon Dawson. Brandon Dawson just brought to the game the actual steps we need to take to elevate our platform to become the forefront of healthcare. Yeah. That was my impression.
Yeah, yeah. I had a similar impression. You know, when Brandon came to GrowthCon, so Brandon Dawson came to GrowthCon with Grant, same thing, agree with you, we didn't know who he was exactly. And then he kind of gave us what he, you know, exact same story. So, but you know, when we came and met with Brandon, and he started, we toured Audigy, and I was like, okay, we have a consulting company right now, and the consulting company does really well. But because Mike and I actually personally coached for the first 3 years, and then that we were over the coaches, we knew the pain points of our doctors. And our doctors are not businessmen, okay? They're doctors. They're very, very good doctors, but nobody taught them how to run a business, okay? And we realized the limitation of advanced medical integration is our guys are doctors and not businessmen. So when we sat in Audigy and we sat with Brandon Dawson and he showed us what he did for Audigy, because Brandon Dawson's not a clinical person, he's a businessman. When we saw what he built with Audigy, he actually was able to take clinicians and teach them how to be businessmen,
right,
and rock star businessmen. And you're right, the model was so close to Audigy that it was like the flip switched again. Remember we talked about the switch? It was like we knew what we always wanted and we saw it in the distance, but there was a fog and haziness of how we were going to get there. And after that first meeting with Brandon, it was like the fog cleared and we were like, there it is. Like, there's our path right, yeah, there. And so we spent the next 6 months working with our partners to negotiate or figure out a relationship with Cardone Ventures, okay, which to me, talk about the best of both worlds. Brandon Dawson, who is a businessman like you wouldn't believe, and Grant Cardone with his sales, okay, and his ability to project out into the world, which is what AMI needs to do. This is like a marriage made in heaven, okay? And now we have a very clear, definite path. We know in about 4 to 5 years, we will have fundamentally changed healthcare in the United States, and our plan is already to go global. And that's because of Brandon Dawson,
right,
and his ability to say, follow me, I've been there.
You know, our poor doctors, when I went to school, we had one class on business. And I have a business degree, and I work for a Fortune 500 company right out of undergrad. So I knew what I was being taught in that school was not going to help me run a business. And I knew that there was a lot of missing components. I knew enough to know that I didn't know, but the other poor guys there in the class who had no business background didn't have a clue. What Brandon brings to the table is an applicable ability to put business acumen into this whole model so that their business can thrive. That, you know, you have to be a clinician to start, but you have to be a business person to survive,
yeah,
and to grow. And if you don't grow, you don't survive. So Brandon brings that. He's got it so codified on how to take these practices and put them into another level that Brandon Dawson is going to help us change healthcare in the next 5 years.
Yep.
So he talks about the four pillars of business, which really resonated with me, especially the people pillar. So the four pillars, the operational, the marketing, the finance, and the people. And I know that I made a lot of mistakes in managing people over the years. And I know that a lot of our clients have as well. And we don't know any better. We're just doctors. But when he starts to teach how you get people motivated to help you grow your business, we cannot scale our businesses without people. We cannot scale our businesses without people who are trained and capable of making decisions for our companies. Yet I didn't really have a system on how to get that to happen. And what Brandon brings to the table is how you can get people motivated to take the responsibility for their position and make decisions for the company so you can scale. That was the biggest thing that stuck out with me. Now, he hits the other pillars as well, and I don't mean to downplay that, but what really resonated with me is how you handle people and motivate them to help you grow this business, because we have a great staff, but I didn't quite know how to utilize them. I know over the years I've lost some good employees because of my poor management skills, and in doing the coursework with them and listening to Brandon and listening to his team, I am learning, and I kind of went through this trial by fire without him before, realizing I was not being a good manager. But really, it just gave us the pieces to do it that really make a big change.
Yeah, yeah. I also was very much affected by the 10x360 and the leadership coursework that we've been studying online. I think for me was, I always had what I thought were good goals, right? But as I went through some of Brandon's stuff, they were just vague goals is what they were. You know, like, we want to change healthcare. Well, I now realize that's a vague goal, right? It doesn't have any specifics. So going through the 10x360 and going through the leadership platform, which we've been through, the leadership training, I was able to actually hone my goals in, define my goals down to numbers of people that we were going to affect and change healthcare, in what countries. And my goal is so crystal clear now, and it is now even higher and bigger than it was when I started, that with that crystal clear goal, it has now enabled me to say, as I move through, like you said, right, I come across something, and in the past, because my goal was kind of fuzzy, it was like, well, I don't really need to do that. I don't really need to study. Now it's like, I want to be here. I'm running into this. I need to professionally grow or personally grow if I'm going to actually get better to meet my goal. And so I get up every morning and I think my output, my production output has doubled and tripled because my goal is crystal clear. So to me, that leadership training, like, because it really takes you through really getting crystal clear and how to actually put benchmarks on your goals. So that for me, I walked out of there with that, which is I realize what I don't know, I really don't know, and I actually have to go learn it. Before, I would just kind of say, yeah, I'll learn it someday, and I wasn't growing, I wasn't growing in all aspects. I think my biggest takeaway was, in all our years of business, we always benchmarked our business on what last year did. Nobody ever told us that that wasn't the way you're supposed to do it. I had a vague idea that there could be missed opportunity, right? But this concept, which is to be able to actually penetrate a market and figure out in your market how much a business should be able to produce in that market, okay? And then be able to say that our business is here and this is all the lost opportunity. And then Brandon has his program can dial in to every staff member on what opportunity that staff member is causing, is costing the business by not performing up to a certain level. That concept blew my mind. I never had that concept. So for me, walking away from the 10x360 is like, I want my platforming. I want you to show me where we're at, because I thought we were doing really good, right? But show me how much more we could be, but show it to me in such a scientific way that we can turn around to our staff and really input the rest of the 10x360 program into it, because that staff will meet that level, and all we'll do is then triangulate and open up another practice. And then we're certain that where we're opening it and what we're doing is we can actually make it happen. That's what I walked away with.
Right, and in seeing that, and seeing Brandon explain in the 10x360, the four pillars, to me it gave me hope, because I realized, you know what, we're doing really good in our one practice, but why don't we just repeat that practice? Why don't we have multiple practices? And then it started becoming clear to me, and if this happened with our clients, and they all had the same cognition, not only would they double, triple, and quadruple their income personally, or even 10x their income personally, as a group, we would change healthcare. By 10xing all of our practices, and having every market in the United States cornered, I can see in the future all the chiropractic schools, all the medical schools reaching out to us. Hey, can you teach your model to our guys? We'll offer you continuing education credit hours to teach your model to our guys so they can be more successful. And it's good for the patient because the patient is getting less drugs, less surgery, yet a higher level of function than they would have ever gotten anywhere else. And through the 10x360, I'm seeing the pathway. Brandon has it codified. He has it mapped out. This is how you get these practices to grow. He's already done it. So it's not like we're trudging through the forest blind. We're actually walking through the forest with somebody who's been through the forest multiple times before, and they're going to get us to where we need to go.
After the 10x360, we are definitely more goal-oriented, more intentional. And if you're a business that really wants to scale your business to 10x size, I would definitely recommend you go to the 10x360 because that is absolutely where Mike and I are at now.
Yeah, and what I've learned from it, you know, my father told me, he had his own business, and my father told me, in business, you're either growing or shrinking, and there's no middle ground. And there's a lot of truth to that. Now that I own a business, what I've noticed is what happens is you work your butt off to grow, and then you take a break and you shrink, and then you work your butt off to grow, and then you shrink. And that's what kills you, and that's what actually killed him. He died at 62 years old, 4 years after he retired. And I didn't want to have that same thing happen to me. So the 10x360 has laid out very clearly, this is how you scale your business. This is how you go to the next level, with goals, with the pathway, with how to handle the obstacles, how to manage, how to market, how to handle finance. It's very clear to us now how we're going to scale our business, and not only our business as a consulting company, but all of our clients' businesses as clinics, including our own clinic. Mm-hmm. So it's very clear to us now how we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed about Brandon is you give him an obstacle and he handles it. We were amazed after working with him. You throw something at him and he goes, well, boom, 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 and there's a solution. You're like, how did that guy do that? But the other aspect of it is he surrounded himself with really smart people. So I don't want to take anything away from Brandon. He is really, really, really smart. But he's got a team around him that are so well-versed in their areas of marketing, operations, finance, and people that it's like a 1-2-3-4-5 punch that you get. You get Brandon plus his super team that he surrounded himself with. Steve Jobs said the smartest thing in the world is surround yourself with really smart people. The dumbest thing in the world is to get those people and tell them what to do. And what Brandon has been successful at is surrounding himself with a team that carries their own weight. Nobody does it at the same level as Brandon, but better than anybody I've seen in these aspects of business ever. And you really get this whole team effect, and it's just phenomenal. That's what I got.
Yeah, when we went to the 10x360 two-day event, okay, what I was so highly impressed with was kind of what you just said. So at the 10x360 event, there were different presenters, and the presenters were in different spaces, the finance space, the marketing space, and they were leaders in their spaces. So really what impressed me was that Brandon has surrounded himself with people so powerful in their space that they're able to educate us to a higher level.